All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Drake versus Kendrick. The real beef is Canucks conversation versus Oilers Nation every day. Let's get into it with the lead. That was good for coming up with it at 11:58.
That was good. I actually didn't know what you were going to do today.
Yeah, I kept it under wraps, kept it a secret. Never let them know your next move, Liam. Oh, welcome in to the Sports Closet Studio. Check them out online at sportscloset.ca. They also have three locations in the Edmonton area. St. Albert Mall, Sherwood Park Mall, and the Kingsway Mall. Get geared up for round two with our friends at Sports Closet. They also carry a limited run of Nation gear as well. So if you ever want to get in, get your hands on it in person, Sports Closet is your spot. What's our latest piece of Nation gear here, AB? Flash that up. Back from the effing dead. Connor McDavid line. We slapped her on a hoodie.
I might get the hoodie. I like the hoodies here.
It's nice. I like the 97 in there instead of the U. It's a nice little touch. Pretty sharp, Liam. Check it out.
I haven't seen these before.
Yeah. Check it out. Nationgear.ca. Rise from the ashes. Yes. From dead last in the NHL in early November to round two of the playoffs. From losing 8-1 in Vancouver in the season opener to opening round two of the playoffs down at Rogers Arena in downtown Van. It has been quite the journey, and that continues. And then, I mean, we get round two hockey this week, Liam. Giddy up.
Don't stop believing.
Never stop believing. Can't stop, won't stop, never stop. That's a Drake line.
That's a journey. Don't stop believing.
Well, that one is, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This week, we are going to have game one, game two, and game three. You and I are going to be out in Vancouver to do our shows on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. So a couple Sherwood Ford Giant game days on the road this week as well. So lots to get to today on the program. We're going to be joined by David Quadrelli, our friend from Canucks Conversation.
Big Dave.
I can absolutely guarantee you he has no side in the Drake Kendrick beef.
You don't think?
I don't think he could name you more than two Kendrick Lamar songs.
That'll be our first question. I don't know if I can name two Kendrick Lamar
songs. You could name more than two Kendrick Lamar songs.
I don't know if I can name one. I know them, but I don't know the names of them.
Humble.
Humble, that's the one. That's, yeah, that one's actually by Mitch Marner.
Ooh. Okay. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. We're going to be talking about that. There's a lot to get to around the NHL. Jason Gregor is also going to join us at 1 o'clock to finish off the show today. He was at Oilers Skate, said, I might join you from my car. That's totally fine, Gregor. You could join me from the moon for all I care. I just want your takes and analysis. So Greg's is going to swing by in a little bit as well. But I got a good short for giant question too, but I honestly think I want to start today's show, Liam. Let's hear from the people. Let's start with the Charm Diamond Centers YouTube chat, brought to you by our friends over at Charm Diamond Centers, where you can get a custom ring built and delivered in 4 weeks through Charm and their Masterpiece program. Check them out online, charmdiamondcenters.com, and check out their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing, OAC. Charm Diamond Centers, proudly Canadian-owned and operated. Dacky is in. Nothing like 8 days off between playoff rounds. Plenty of time to stew in my nerves. Go Oil. I'm not feeling nervous right now. I'm excited for game one. I'm excited for this series to get going. The nerves will hit probably when the puck drops, but I'm not going into this series like shaking about the result of game one. Honestly, I'm reasonably confident that even if game one didn't go their way, the Oilers would still have the upper hand in this series, and that's being reflected in the way people are picking them and the odds.
Yeah, the Oilers are the heavy favorites in this one. I mean, if you go into Vancouver and lose game one, is it fair to say it's almost expected? You know, like they are absolutely pounded by the Calgary Flames a few years ago in that game one. That was awful. I was honestly felt pretty confident they were going to get swept and didn't stand a chance in the series after that happened. But yeah, I'm not too worried going into the series, and I'm quite excited. Maybe I'm very relaxed. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? We'll find out. Luckily for all of us, I don't get to play in the game, so it doesn't actually matter that much.
Decent point. Dacky with another one. Honestly, this is the series I am most worried about. Is that weird? I think it is. And I think over the course of the next, 75 minutes here on today's show, I'm going to try to convince you that you shouldn't be all that concerned. Ryan is in. If Demko comes back, I'll be a little bit worried. My counter to that is, would it be Demko coming back at 100%? That would be kind of the asterisk on all of that. And I know you can sit there and we'll talk with Quads about just how good Arthur Seelovs was. And, the Canucks could have played Casey DeSmith. He's healthy enough to play in these hockey games. They're opting to go with Seelovs, and he was playing great in that series against Nashville. But he's playing great against the 14th best offense in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Not playing great against a power play that's humming at 50% in the playoffs or 40%+ in the playoffs. Not against a top five offense in the NHL. The Predators don't have one player who's as good as Connor McDavid, one player who's as good as Leon Draisaitl, and they don't have one forward that's as pesky and as good in front of the net as Zach Hyman. Like, it's not the same. I'm not sitting there going, ooh, Seelovs played so well against the Predators. He's going to come and shut down the Oilers for three straight games and we're out of here. Like, I just don't see that happening.
No, me neither. I think this is going to be a totally different matchup from what Vancouver got against Nashville, like you said. And Frank made an interesting point on the rundown today, is that he felt like Vancouver was the one dictating the play, not Nashville. So I'm very intrigued with what they're going to do, because Vancouver should be a high-flying offensive team. They have all the talent in the world to be able to be honest, go toe-to-toe with the Oilers offensively.
Yeah.
It is going to be that goaltending battle that determines everything. And also, how good is the Oilers special teams going to be? I think expecting them to go 100% on the penalty kill again is crazy. Like, that would be nuts, of course. But I would not be shocked if the power play absolutely buzzes again around 50%.
I just wouldn't be either. They're clearly throwing all their tricks out, and it's a lot harder for teams to stop. Dirty Gertie is in and says, damn, the weekends are always so hard without you guys. Dirty Gertie, the weekends are hard without you too. We missed you too. Happy to be back on a Monday. Jay is in, says, bought tickets hoping for a Saturday game. Little pissed it's on a Sunday now. I'm sure your work will understand. Take a half day. Take the first half of Monday off.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think the scheduling is interesting. I think what people need to understand is, other people going to these arenas for these teams play as well, like scheduling conflict, unfortunately. But I don't know. I'm not too concerned about the 8 day gap for the Oilers between games. Like, if you don't want that to happen, hey, push your series to seven. What do you want?
You don't want that happen.
Exactly.
So. And if you were to go to seven, we'd be sitting here being like, the Oilers might be more nicked up, didn't have time to rest and recover. Yeah. So
I'm glad it's this long.
Yeah, Henrique and Kane, by the way, not skating today at Oilers practice. Maintenance days again. Chris Knobloch did say he's expecting them to be on the ice tomorrow for the Oilers. I would presume tomorrow before they fly out to Vancouver. I want to hit on this, and then we're going to change gears a little bit. Riley, we cannot lose this series. We cannot let Canucks Twitter have that. So there's a lot of discourse about the fan base heading into this one. And I know there was that guy in Vancouver who was like, Canucks Twitter is way better than Oilers Twitter because look at all these great tweeters we have. And it was like, what? And then that Jeff Veliette guy basically just like called Oilers fans morons and was like, no one on Oilers Twitter is just like knows how to like properly use the site and no one's all that funny and they can't critically think. Like he torched Oilers fans. And it was like, okay, that's annoying because whatever, it's Jeff. The other side of it is I'm seeing a lot of people, and this is what's going to get annoying. And Maynard, I'm going to pull up this one here. Canucks fan base is garbage. I live among them. I hate that kind of talk.
That garbage?
Like, okay, so there was the kid who went viral for being like, F Jack Campbell, F Zach Kyman, F the Oilers.
That it was Jack Campbell.
I know, that was funny. And people were like, you know, clutching their pearls, being like, a child? Canucks fans? Canucks fans are letting kids talk like this? And it's like,
come on.
Okay, that one kid going viral is not a comment on all Canucks fans. Totally. And it does not mean Canucks fans are garbage. And guess what? There are going to be Oilers fans who do some pretty dumb shit over the next 10 days.
Like, how many videos do you see of people fighting in the mosh pit? I don't know.
They always pop up.
And they're always wearing all those jerseys. It's stupid. Like, fans are going to do stupid stuff throughout, and it's just like, whatever. Like, people are excited. Like, the Canucks, they haven't been able to celebrate their team like this for so long. And I'm sure we were similar when we made it to the second round finally. Like, I don't really care, to be honest, about that stuff. It's just whatever. And the Twitter stuff, I didn't see. I have all those people muted. So my Twitter's lovely.
Yeah, you do execute the mute button perfectly. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't love the whole like going and just nitpicking out random little comments and videos on Twitter because there's garbage. 90% of Twitter is garbage unless you're Leo.
I don't like it at all.
It's just annoying to me. It's like, hey, let's be real. Canucks fans are not garbage. You've just found 6 to 10
tweets.
The
internet is garbage.
The internet is garbage. That's a great way to put it, AB. So that's kind of where I'm at with this whole thing is like, we can probably do without the whole like fan base to fan base slander. Can keep it a little bit, not civil, but
yeah,
a little bit better than that. It's like, you know, that guy tweeted out the whole like, if your left brain, it was a picture of McDavid. It's like, if your left brain, do you see a guy who can only score on the power play? If you're right brain, do you see a guy who's lost every big game in his career? And it's like, people were like using that and amplifying it to the tune of like, look, Canucks fans are idiots. They're morons if they think this. And it's like, well, no, that's like,
he got you.
It's like one dude who trolled you and you bit hard on it. Right. So I don't know. I also think we're probably going to see a whole bunch of viral moments, both in Vancouver and Edmonton of,
do you know what?
There's going to be fights, is my point.
Oh, totally.
There's going to be people who go to those games. And we even saw it in LA. There was that one Oilers fan we talked to who was like actively going out and antagonizing Kings fans at the games. And I said to you guys, I was like, that's the kind of fan who gets their ass kicked.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of fans who are great. There are going to be a ton who are morons. And I just don't want this whole conversation to become that like, this fan base is garbage and this fan base is garbage and this fan base is garbage. And like the bat, it's just, it's annoying.
If you're at the game, just let people be. This friendly banter, like when we were in LA, one guy came up to me and he was pretending to hold a mic and it was after game 3. And he goes, excuse me, sir, I'm interviewing people with ugly hockey jerseys tonight. And I said, like, that's funny. And then I went back and I'm like, excuse me, sir, I'm interviewing people who just went down 2-1 in the series. And it was great. And
great
was
banter.
There was other very aggressive things thrown our way. And just don't be that guy.
Exactly. And that's the end of my rant. That's all I wanted. Okay, a couple of comments. Joel was in and said, tickets for game 1 and 2 are insane in Vancouver. Then he said, looks like I'll be cheering from the bar. You should be cheering from Greta in Vancouver. Yes. So if you're in the Vancouver area and you want to see the game with us, hang out with us pregame because we're going to be at the game, head on down to Greta. Greta downtown Vancouver is a lovely spot. You got the games. We're going to be doing a live pregame show from there before we kick it up to Boardsy, who's going to be doing the watch parties here. in Edmonton.
It's come a battle to Greta. Of the Gretas, people.
If you want to save the money on tickets and you want to be around Oilers fans, I can promise you there will be a lot of Oilers fans at Greta downtown. That's going to be our spot. We're throwing the flag down, claiming it as our own.
I'm curious to see how the two match up. Greta's are great across the board, but I want to see the differences.
I've been to the one in Vancouver.
Do they have the football game?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we're taking the show on the road.
Taking the show on the road, people.
I'm going to have to pack my Voltaren. Got to keep the arm loose. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, shout
stretches.
Excited to get out to Greta in Vancouver. If you're in Edmonton, you can hit them up downtown Edmonton and watch the game with Boardsy on both Wednesday and Friday, a Friday night playoff game night. Edmonton, Vancouver, watch party at Greta with the post-game show live from next to the dance floor is going to be absolutely electric.
Buckle up, people, if you want to come on Friday. It's weird that the schedule worked this way and they're not playing till Wednesday, but when I discovered that, I went, oh my God, that means we'll be at Greta on Friday night again. If you missed it for the first round, it was lit, and I guarantee it'll be lit again on Friday. And as I always said, free 99 to get in. Who doesn't like free things? I'll probably throw a t-shirt your way too.
Weekend recap for our friends at Greta. Before we get into the hockey, what'd you do this weekend?
Crew camp all weekend.
And the next wave is looking as talented as ever for the Crusaders.
It's going to be good. I'm excited for the next year. The crew are in the finals this weekend.
Oh yeah,
they are. To the next weekend's weekend recap. Rocks Bandits in town, games 1 and 2, Friday, Saturday. First time I think the crew have ever been in the final. Kind of crazy. So hopefully we can beat them up.
We don't have a pizza partner on this show, do we? We don't have anywhere that would be considered a pizza place.
Not on this show.
Not on any shows, I don't think.
Uh-oh. Boston Pizza.
Yeah. Boston Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, my point was that I ate some really good pizza this weekend.
I thought you were like
gonna also, for the first time in my life, I had like what I think you would describe as like really good tequila. And I just like sipped it straight. That was...
Was it awesome. In a white ball?
Yes.
Kind of looked like something from ancient Egypt.
I forget the brand. It had a very thick black like lid on the top. Interesting. And not like a screw top. It was one you had like...
Pop top.
Popped it up.
Cork.
Yeah, it had a cork top. It was very good. So that's what I did on the Saturday night as I watched...
But what were you celebrating?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Celebrating the fact I broke 80 for the first time golfing.
So what'd you get? 79?
Dead on 79.
How'd that feel? Where'd you play?
Played at River Ridge down by like Windermere. Yeah, Rondo Park. People were tweeting me. Okay, first off, I'm probably going to talk about this on real life too, so I'm not going to do like a whole whatever, but people were tweeting me being like, yeah, how many mulligans? If you're going to talk about how good of a score you shot in golf, the presumption is there are no mulligans.
Yeah, yes.
Like that's not a thing. There was one hole where I blasted it into the water off into the North Saskatchewan because you play like right on the river. And I was like, so I went, point of entry, took my drop.
Sorry, where did you play?
River Ridge.
Oh, River Ridge.
Okay. Took my drop 160 out. It was on the sixth hole there, if anyone's ever played it. Dropped from 160, just like in the rough, stuck it within like 2.5 feet.
So you made up for it.
I like instantly made up for it, tap and par. So what was I? The front nine, I was a 39. So I needed a 40 on the back to whatever. Yeah. Par 36 on the back. My first four holes, bogey, double, bogey.
Whoa.
And I was like, well, this is pretty much it. Like there it goes.
90 ain't bad.
I was like, hey, it's going to be another like, you know, average to above average round for me in the 82 to 85 range. Right.
Okay.
And then the next hole, I made like a 20-foot miracle par putt.
Oh.
And then I was like, okay, like that's, I wish I could have gotten one of those on the last hole, yeah. But whatever, here we are. Next hole made like a 15-foot par putt. And I was like, oh shit, my putter's getting hot. And then I was like, well, there's three holes to go. And 18, I knew is a short par five.
Okay.
I was like, okay, so I got that short par five and I have two more short par fours. I was like, I'm kind of starting to believe a little. I was like, if I can go par, mm-hmm. and like over the last couple of years, I've probably played like 80 to 90 rounds of golf. I've really been trying to work on my golf game and I've never broken 80. So this has been a long time coming for me. So I went par. So on 18, I was like, I need the bird. All right. Good tee shot. Second shot put me like 15 yards in front of the green.
Mm-hmm.
Went to go chip with my pitching wedge. Shanked it.
Oh, no.
Left it on the fringe. Couldn't even get it up on the green.
On the apron?
Yeah, right on the apron. And I was sitting there like, goddamn, that's where I messed this whole thing up. So I had like a 15-footer right to left break. And I drained it.
Wow.
And me and my buddy that I was with, like, because again, if it was like a little tap in for birdie, it would have been like, tap it in, like, nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But when you make it on that kind of a putt,
like,
it was electric.
Like the Oilers Nation Open last year.
Yeah.
When I made my putt. That was nuts.
Those are the most electric
that
moments.
That was the turning point of our game. But still finished second, but that was a turning point.
Anyways, not that absolutely anyone in the chat cares about this. So let's move on.
I disagree.
Yeah, maybe they do. They're just talking about Mitch Marner.
I cared.
Let's talk about Mitch.
Oh, okay. One more thing on the golf, because I went and played again yesterday. Okay. What do you think happens after I played the best round of my life Saturday?
120.
Yeah, 12 over on the front. 11 over on the front. Cleaned it up, 2 over on the back. But the front, I was like, of course this happened. I had like 2 triples. It was like, oh my God, just a mess. All right, let's move along. Let's go around the NHL, Liam, for our friends over at Duragard. Duragard Fence Limited has been your spot in Edmonton, in all of Alberta, for your fencing needs for the last 37 years. They've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. Duragard Fence, your one-stop shop for over 37 years. Chain link, wood, vinyl, ornamental. They got it all at duragardfence.ca. Liam, around the NHL, let's start with the Leafs. Everyone loves talking about it. I said it multiple times last week. What I enjoy is watching the Leafs lose in the most hilarious way possible.
Oh,
son of a bitch, they did it.
Yeah, just crawling the way back. That game 6 was so good from them. And then, of course, like, Joseph Wall can't play. Austin Matthews isn't 100%. And I was like, well, you get the late lead from Nylander. And then you blew it. You absolutely blew it. It was right in the palm of their hands. And they just... their fans got their hearts ripped out once again. Do I feel bad for them? No, because that team should be way better than what they are. Like, William Nylander, Mana, all those guys. It's like, well, how do you guys not win? Like, I don't get it. I really don't. And people were criticizing Nylander on this.
Not his fault.
No, not even close. Like, Mana just lets Pasternak skate in full speed. Like, credit to Boston, too. Fantastic
great play. Goal.
Yeah, great set of play. But, like, you don't make plays like that without knowing who's on the ice. You know Mitch Marner's on the ice, and he's not taking Pasternak with him.
Also, I think it's fair to criticize Samsonov.
Yeah.
Dude.
I think there was a lot of mistakes on this play.
Like, why are you sitting there? Like, again, if you go, you should be able to read as this play develops right here that there is really not a lot of support for Pasternak. And if you poke check, whack into the corner. What are you doing? So I blame, if I'm ordering the blame, I know Pete and DJ like to do like a blame pie. That's a joke they've been doing. I'm like 50% Samsonov, 25% Marner, 25% Riley. No, 20%, 20%, 10%. Holy shit, that's a great play. But you had to poke check that.
I think, yeah, that's probably.
G-Sip says, Wool not playing was bad luck. Adding to the hilarity, like, dude, poke check that. What are you doing? The crazy stuff. Adding to the hilarity of it, Austin Matthews is back. Boom. As the day went on, it was like, holy shit, we're getting the Leafs fans, we're getting Matthews back. Giddy up. Game 7, our night. Okay, the goalie who saved you the last 2 nights is now injured and can't play. But then to go into the game and have Samsonov play as well as he did for the entire game, you score first and then he gives up a weak one and then he does that in OT. Like, the layers to this were incredible. Mitch Marner being on the ice and kind of a focal point in screen, in shot, as that one goes in. David Pasternak scoring the winner. The Leafs' big guns coming through in a big moment when your big guns couldn't. Like, the whole thing was hilarious. Sheldon Keefe's comments after the game being like we just find, like, team's game plan and then the Leafs beat themselves. I was like, so are you admitting right now as the coach of this team that you can't figure out a way to beat yourself or not beat yourself?
Not beat yourself.
It was just weird, man. The whole thing was wild. But yeah, Leafs are gone.
It'd be interesting to see what they do now. Like, this has got to be the summer where they turn it upside down, right? Like, last year there was all those videos and everything everywhere being like, Mana, trade rumors, Mana, here, there, everywhere, Nylander too. And then now you signed Nylander, Mana's coming up. Like, Keith's gone. If it's his fault or not, he will not be there. Brendan Shanahan should probably be out the door too. That,
well, how many hires do you get to make is kind of the point.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like all this stuff. I can't see how much Marner's back next year.
but he's got a full no move and he comes up today and says, I want to be a Leaf forever. And
yeah, I don't know. What's he going to say?
And the other comment that
get me out of here.
You're right. But he's a Southern Ontario boy.
I don't know. Like for me, if you go up to him and say like, we're going to move you, like he obviously has the right to say no, but like you want to be wanted where you work.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe they would just say like, hey, we're not re-upping you.
Yeah.
Like, we're letting you walk. So do you want to do this now or do you want to walk next summer? And he might say, well, no, I want to try win here one more year and change my reputation. So no, you're not trading me, but
yeah,
we'll see what ends up happening.
Right to do that.
Yeah.
So who could they move? Like what would be the plan then?
Their seven highest paid forwards and three highest paid defensemen all have some form of trade protection.
That's good. That's helpful.
Granted, two of them are, or three of those 10 are pending UFAs, but yeah. Still, it's not good. That's for sure. Yeah, man, that was an ugly one in the Leafs. Quickly, I want to touch on this because people were getting at it on Twitter. People were getting it in added in the chat as well. You read Mitch Marner when asked about playing in Toronto saying they're like gods there. Crazy. And you think, you know what? That sounds ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's a little out of context. Let's take a listen.
Want to stay in Toronto long term?
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a goal. I've expressed my love for this place, this city. Obviously, I've grown up here, so you know, we'll start thinking about that now and, you know, trying to figure something out.
What does it mean to be a Maple Leaf?
It means the world. Obviously, we're looked upon as you know, kind of gods here, to be honest, and you know, something that you really appreciate, and the love that you get here from this fan base and this attention is you know, kind of none like any other. So you saw with the Raps a couple years ago, you know, the love that they still have for a lot of those players that they had to trade off this year, and that's kind of the love you want.
What he didn't mention about the Toronto Raptors is that they traded their cult hero in DeMar DeRozan to win a championship.
Yes. Yeah,
I forgot that part, Mitch.
That is a great point. Yeah, dangerous weight. Even in context, it's not a good look considering the situation. Oh, it's terrible. I was hoping the video would redeem Mitch Marner a little bit, and you sit there and watch it. He like starts the sentence, stops, and has 2.5-3 seconds of like, yeah, I am going to say it. Yeah. Gods. And it's like, well, okay.
Imagine if he starts like lifting him off, like, yeah, I see myself as a Zeus.
Yeah. We actually talk about this quite a lot in the room.
Thor.
Hercules.
Hercules. No, well, that would be Nylander. Yeah, actually, Thor would be Nylander. That makes sense.
Got the hair. Yeah. And Daryl Sutter, star players are seen as gods in a lot of Canadian markets. But you don't say it. And you don't say it after you lost in the first round for the fourth time in five seasons.
Yeah.
And you don't say it when you have 10 goals in 50 some games.
Like you can say almost, and like, I understand what he's saying. Say heroes, like heroes is like
idols.
Yeah.
We're just looked up to.
Yeah. Role models.
Yeah.
Literally anything, but
anything, but gods.
Yeah. Godzilla.
And Daryl said he wasn't calling himself a god.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it kind of was. And again, context. Mark M, that's like LeBron saying he's the GOAT. No, not really.
Well, he's at least in the conversation.
Yeah, he's at least there if you don't believe he isn't.
And especially like Nylander after the playoffs he just had, like how scrutinized he was, and to come out in your exam and be like, we're gods here.
And that's what I mean. Like the Canada ad is in and says like, it's not a good look or a smart thing to say, but it's not awful. No, it's not like the worst thing imaginable. No, it's just adding stupid to the hilarity of the situation that they get bounced in round one. Mitch Marner sucks, should probably get traded. And he comes out and says, we're looked at like gods. Like,
read the room, brother. Read the room.
It's pretty funny. Anyways, Leafs are gone. You know who else has gone? The Vegas Golden Knights. Woo-hoo! Poll in the chat. Who are you happier to see eliminated? The Vegas Golden Knights or the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Oh,
I'm all Vegas.
Unanimous.
All Vegas. It should be unanimous. I hate the Golden Knights. I hate all the shit they pull. I hate everything they do. I hate a bunch of players on that roster. And to see them get bounced and then have Mark Stone come on the media and say, yeah, maybe if we would have put more emphasis on the regular season, we wouldn't have to play all these good teams. Oh, chef's kiss.
Did you say that?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable. Like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't sit on LTIR for the final month every single year and not help your team win. No shit. pull it up. Hilarious. Hilarious. Their wag jackets sucked as well. Amber will like that I bring that up. That's a terrible wag jacket. Stitching was awful.
I did see the stitching.
Yeah. Brutal.
Very controversial.
If you have bad wag jackets, you're not going on a run. I don't make the rules.
That's why the Oilers ones are legit. We're going on a run.
Yep.
Yeah, just... I said it the whole time, right? Like, I mean, it's a very obvious statement, but like, when you put players like Mark Stone on the LTIR, you're losing your best player. Like, it's going to be difficult to win games. And like, Thomas Hurdle was out, and like, they did deal with injuries throughout the year. Don't get me wrong. And that did obviously prevent them from doing any better, but like, they also did it to themselves. And I don't think any, like, no hockey fan who loves the integrity of the game is going to be like, damn, I wish Vegas went on another run. Like, yeah, you know, like,
and again, it's not like it's not like they were the one seed losing to the eighth seed, because yeah, that would be even more hilarious. They were the eighth seed. They lost to a team that a bunch of people are picking to win the Stanley Cup in seven games, all one goal games. Commendable effort.
Totally.
But it's just hilarious.
It's awesome. And now they have to, because of what they do. And I actually don't hate this about Vegas. I like the ruthlessness they have.
Yeah. Marchessault, like, you gone.
Marchessault's gone now. That's it.
Like, 40 goal done. Guy off your roster.
And just because you wanted Thomas Hurdle.
Like, shiny new toy.
Like, it's just, it's, they have a very interesting thing going on there. And hey, they won the cup. It's clearly something a lot of other teams should try and do as well. But I couldn't be happy to see the back of them. The most disappointing part, we don't get to go to Vegas now. Just for pleasure, not for business.
Yeah, fair. Coming up on 12:30. So let's get out to the Star Mechanical Guest Line. It's Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more about everything they've done in the Edmonton area for the last 20 years and what makes them the best by visiting them online at starmechanical.ca. Residential, commercial, 24/7 emergency service. They got it all at Star Mechanical. David Quadrelli is one half of Canucks Conversation, and he joins us now. David, we're coming out to your neck of the woods right away, but I did promise the chat I'd ask you one question before we start. Who you got in Drake Kendrick?
Well, is it even a contest anymore? Like, okay, so here's the thing. I don't listen to rap very much. I used to listen to Drake quite a bit. But there was that video that went viral on Twitter of the guy explaining the beef, 5-minute video. I watched all of that. And now I'm kind of up to speed on it. And how can you not be? You see it all over Twitter. Not even a contest anymore. Like, Kendrick's running away with this. And it was a Metro Boomin tweeted out the Chris Paul hits a huge three to cut the lead down by 47. How can you come back from that? How can you come back? You can't. You can't. Fight's over as far as I'm concerned.
I will say that guy who went viral, there were probably 6 or 7 points he made that had some incorrect information and were very slanted towards Kendrick Lamar. So I don't like that guy. But anyways, whatever. We'll move on. Talk about stuff the people want us to talk about, Quads, which is this series that is coming up this week. Game one goes on Wednesday. We're going to be out in your neck of the woods. I'll be in the building for game one. You'll be in the building for game one. He'll be in the building for game one. Will Thatcher Demko be on the ice for game one?
No, so Thatcher Demko started skating last week. Good for his recovery, but all indications are that the original reporting that he was going to be able to play in maybe game 6 or 7 if it went that far, looks like they're going to err on the side of caution that he would not be available until the next round. I would be surprised at this point to see Thatcher Demko in this series at all. I also think there's less of an urgency to rush back just with the way Artur Shelov has played. And I know for Demko, you look at his injuries, guys, and some people are going to look at it and say, okay, that's 4 injuries in the past 2-3 years. But I think some people are starting to look at it more as, okay, that's 1 injury that he kind of rushed back from, led to a 2nd injury. Okay, now he has this 3rd injury, kind of rushed back from that. Now he's his 4th one. I think everybody wants to err on the side of caution. Look, Thatcher Demko, I have no doubts in my mind that he wants to be in this series. But at the end of the day, he's got to make sure he's ready to go for next year, right? And it doesn't sound like he's going to need surgery or anything like that. But guys, this is the same knee, different parts of the knee within 2 months, right? Like, that's not good. That's not good for your starting goaltender. Do I think there's less sense of urgency to rush him back from the organization and for maybe himself as well? Yeah, I definitely think so. I definitely think the way Artur Shelov has played, again, like, this is a guy that won the MVP at the IIHF World Championships last year for Latvia. That bronze medal was Latvia's first medal, and they took down USA. Shelov was facing like 57 shots a night. A lot of those were high danger chances, and he just came alive when it really mattered. And Look, I've been covering Shelovs for a long time. Super even keel kid. Nothing really seems to faze him. We've heard jokes before where, and I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent about goaltending here, but like Ryan Johnson, the GM of the Abbotsford Canucks, told Shelovs that he was getting the promotion to make his NHL debut last year. And Ryan Johnson was joking about it, that Shelovs' reaction was like, oh, okay, cool. Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks for letting me know. Like no emotion on the kid. Just like, okay, I guess I'm going to stop pucks somewhere else now. Like, that's the thing, is I kind of knew this playoff, being thrust into the playoffs, wouldn't really faze him. And it, everything we've seen is just that no matter what happens, he's just like, well, I'm here to stop pucks and that's what I'm going to do.
Imagine if Jack Campbell had that same mentality.
Well, I can't. I honestly can't. Maybe in the same spot. Okay, so we know Demko is hurt. There are also rumblings about the health of other players on the Canucks. And I mean, Quinn Hughes still put up 5 points in that opening series. His time on ice was a minute and a half on average less than in the regular season, I think. Pedersen, I mean, 3 points in 6 games, not great. 8 shots in 6 games, not great. Is there anything to the idea that maybe one of those two or both of them aren't at full strength?
I think the answer you'd get from Rick Tocchet is that nobody's at full strength this year, but let's focus on Pedersen, guys, because for Pedersen, really since the All-Star break, he's really, really fallen off. And maybe that's a bit dramatic to say it the way that I just did, but hasn't been himself since the All-Star break. Like, let's not make any mistake about it. This is a game breaker that was undoubtedly in the MVP conversation for the Canucks last year. This year, it was between Demko, Hughes, and Miller. Pedersen wasn't even in that conversation. He's being deployed as a third line guy right now at this point, right? Like Nashville, when they had the matchup advantage, they're not worried about Elias Pedersen. That's not normal. And for Pedersen, there's been rumblings all season long that he's been dealing with this wrist thing, and he's had this wrist bugging him for years now. And look, I had someone tell me that they wouldn't be surprised if Pedersen got the same surgery on his wrist that Austin Matthews got. I'm not sure if you guys remember that, but someone in the know kind of mentioning to me that they think we might see Pedersen get that exact same surgery. His shot hasn't looked the same. He's looked scared to shoot. I will tell you this though, guys, games 5 and 6, Pedersen started to look a little bit more like himself. And when he's had the rest, he's been able to come out. But the rumblings that I've heard are definitely that this wrist is just bothering him, and it might not be something he needs surgery for. But what we've seen is, again, in game 5, 6, he came out looking a lot better. He started to shoot the puck. It didn't look as dangerous as his shot normally does. But through the start of this series, he was scared to shoot the puck, like wouldn't shoot it, was turning away chances that he had a really good look at the net, and he was just like, nope, I'm not shooting. I'm going to have to make another pass here. Look, let's not make any mistake about it. He's still an elite defensive center. He still can make a lot of things happen with the puck. He's had issues with his line mates in terms of his line mates haven't been good enough. Like Ilya Mikheyev's been a shell of himself all season long, coming off that ACL surgery that he had. He still hasn't got going. Nils Höglander was great in the regular season, was very, very quiet in the first round against Nashville. That third line for the Canucks, the Höglander, Pedersen, Mikheyev line, that's a real X factor for me in this series, because you don't know what you're going to get from them. You just don't. They look way better in games 5 and 6. Ilya Mikheyev started to show flashes. So can they harness that? Can they be that really, really dominant third line that's going to give them the advantage over a lot of teams? I would say including the Oilers. It remains to be seen. And that's the thing, is there's a lot of ifs for the Canucks in this series. But back to the other point about Quinn Hughes, I don't think it's anything to worry about with Quinn Hughes. He's going to benefit from all this rest. That's the easiest way to put it. He still looked dominant in that series. I think less of a spotlight was on Quinn Hughes because of how good the rest of the Canucks defense corps was. That's the best I've seen them play all year long. Yeah, Archer Shelovs was great. Casey Smith was good in game 3 as well. That defense corps, Nikita Zadorov is playing out of his mind right now. That's going to be a huge factor, I think, in this series, is how good the Vancouver defense corps is right now. Tyler Myers is playing really, really well. Ian Cole, who had a lot of problems toward the end of the year, and it was kind of that conversation of, okay, they're doing load management with him, but is it really going to help? Because at this point, he looked so washed by the end of the year. he's been huge in the playoffs through round one. And then Carson Soucy, can't say too much about him. He's been fantastic anytime he's been in the lineup this year. But that Vancouver defense corps has been so good in the playoffs. And I think that's kind of taken the spotlight off of Quinn Hughes to some extent. So that's where I'd go there, is I wouldn't be worried about Quinn Hughes. I think you're a lot more worried about Pettersson than anybody else, but everybody's dealing with stuff at this time of year.
Again, you talk about the blue line. Obviously, a big part of beating the Oilers, the biggest part of beating the Oilers, is stopping McDavid and Draisaitl. Touched on the blue line, but what about up front? Is there one of those lines that you think Rick Tocchet is going to be heavily deploying against the McDavid line?
Yeah, so the JT Miller line, I dove into the numbers. And again, I know it's not the best sample size because the COVID year, JT Miller wasn't really trying. And then the past, the start of the year McDavid matchup, how much can you read into that? Like, the Oilers were a mess, guys. I remember I was in Edmonton. I picked the Oilers to be my cup winner. A lot of that was belief in Stuart Skinner. A lot of that was belief in what they were going to be able to do. And then these are the conversations you and I were having a lot when I was out there, was what's wrong with their defensive system? Chris Knobloch's come and clean that up big time. I think it's still going to be the Miller line, just because JT wants that matchup. He's talked a lot about that specific matchup, about how those are the games that he's really able to focus and perform in, because he's like, all day he's just thinking about, okay, I'm going to shut down Connor McDavid tonight. That's going to be my job tonight. It's going to be that line. That line, in terms of expected goals for and expected goals against, was one of the best in the entire playoffs. That's with Pia Suter, who really couldn't finish any of his chances down the stretch and hell into the playoffs. Just in terms of expected goals for and expected goals against, that was one of the top lines in the playoffs. That's Vancouver's top line. That's who's going to be hard matched against Connor McDavid for sure.
What do you make of the Oilers being such heavy favorites in this series? Like, everyone is just saying the Oilers are going to beat them. Some people are saying five. I've seen a couple of sweeps, stuff like that. I think that's kind of crazy. Like, Vancouver's still a really good team, but what do you think of that?
Yeah, I thought similarly on like kind of a similar line when I was originally thinking about this series, but then just diving into more numbers and more, okay, what does Vancouver do well? What does Edmonton do poorly? Guys, this series comes down to a bunch of ifs for me. Are the Oilers the favorite? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to be four games? No. Do I think it's going to be five? Yeah, maybe. Like, maybe. But I'll give you these, guys. The ifs for Vancouver are, okay, if JT Miller can limit Connor McDavid at even strength, that's a big plus for them. If the Elias Lindholm line with Dakota Joshua, Connor Garland, if they can limit Leon Draisaitl, another if that can happen, the Canucks are going to find success. If the defense corps can play the way they did in the first series against Nashville, they're going to be fine. If Archer Shelovs can steal them a game, like, guys, that game six against Nashville, three expected goals for the Nashville Predators. Shelovs pitches a shutout. He's not to be taken lightly, is what I'll say. Like, Archer Shelovs isn't just benefiting from good defensive play, although the defense has been really good. Archer Shelovs has been very, very good when he's been in the net for the Vancouver Canucks. There's a lot of ifs. There's fewer ifs for the Oilers, I think. I think the Oilers are more saying, like, okay, if we can just play the way we're expected to and the way we expect ourselves to, we're going to find success. For the Canucks, it's a lot more, okay, if we can curb this, if we can focus on this, if we can do this, if we can stay out of the box against that red hot power play, if our penalty kill can continue being really good the way it was in the first round and down the stretch of the season, we're going to be okay. And we might be able to steal this series. If Vancouver takes the series, this series is going seven games. That's the only thing I'm going to say. I don't think Vancouver in six is really on the table, to be quite honest with you. Is Edmonton in five on the table? Yeah, it is. But there's a lot of ifs that I think are going to make this a really interesting series. Chief among them, guys, I was talking to Bag Milk about this. Chief among them is just how bad the Oilers are at limiting zone entries and play through the neutral zone and chances off the rush. I know they were awful at it at the start of the year, but the rush chances against, I think, is where the Canucks are going to be able to, if they're going to produce at even strength, that's going to be where they do it. Because, like, we even saw in that last game where Casey DeSmith was in, that the Canucks clinched the division on that night, we saw Darnell Nurse just have no idea what gap control even is, right?
Simple Darnell.
I heard that. I like that joke. But it really comes down to that, right? Is, okay, how much can the Oilers defense hold off the Canucks offense? Because against Nashville was just collapsing, right? Like Nashville was just collapsing. They're like, hey, we're just gonna try to get a series win here. They were blocking every shot they could. And I know the Oilers blocked a lot of shots in round one as well, but Nashville was just collapsing. Like they weren't attacking. And that's what led to this boring hockey where the Canucks knew that the UC Saros was in net. So they weren't really taking shots from distance. They were really looking for those really fine looks, but no disrespect to Stuart Skinner. He's not UC Saros. So I think the Canucks are going to take it a little bit differently and say, okay, if we can just get pucks in traffic, if we can just get pucks on net, there's going to be a good chance that we can bang home a rebound potentially, or we can get a stick on the puck that's coming through traffic. I think they're just going to approach it very differently than they did against Nashville. So I think it's going to be a high flying series. I think it's going to be a high scoring series. I think it's going to be a really good series at the end of the day that really, like, it could go either way if everything goes right for the Canucks, right? Like the Canucks deserve to be underdogs in this series, simply put. But can the Oilers take care of business? That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of those, if both teams bring their A-plus games, the Oilers win the series. Yeah. It'll be a matter of, can the Oilers do that enough? And that's always been the issue with them in playoffs past. So, yeah, I think that'll be one thing to watch. Another one, too, is just with the Oilers and that special teams, it always means that officiating is going to play a massive role in this series. And if the Canucks win, I guarantee you will have Oilers fans saying the Canucks got away with murder and that's why they won the series. And if the Oilers win, you're going to have Canucks fans saying, well, of course they're going to win. They had the refs in their back pocket because if the Oilers win this series, their power play is probably going 45% again. So that's another storyline that is going to annoy me as it goes through, but it is important nonetheless. Last area I wanted to touch on with you, whenever there's a playoff series like this, a fan base comes away despising certain players on the other side. I got a funny feeling Oilers fans are going to hate Dakota Joshua by the end of this series. Is that an accurate read? He feels like one of those guys. He's been scoring for him this year. He's been scoring in the playoffs, and he just seems like a prick to play against.
Yeah, Connor Garland too, guys. Like Connor Garland, the Athletic did a player poll where it was an anonymous player poll of which player would you most like to punch in the face. And Connor Garland was either second or third, and it was very close. Like it was very, very close. I can't remember who got number one. It might have been Corey Perry. I'm not sure who was number one.
Nick Cousins,
that's right. Yeah, Nick Cousins. That was it. But Connor Garland was very high on that list as well, guys. He's a pest to play against. And the fact that those guys were on the same line, you know, that has a lot to do with it. Tyler Myers sometimes gets some ire from fan bases. I think Dakota Josh was a good pick, Tyler. I really do. He was okay in the first series. That line definitely had more to give. Maybe JT Miller as well, because JT Miller is also, like, JT Miller's dominant at both ends. He has been all season long. He has been in the playoffs as well. I don't know. Maybe Nikita Zadorov. Like, Zadorov was getting a lot of ire from Nashville fans, but that's the thing. Oilers fans know Zadorov, and from what I've seen, Zadorov wasn't very effective when he was in Calgary against the Oilers in that series, right? And on a similar note, Elias Lindholm. Those guys have both been pretty good for Vancouver in the first round against Nashville. Zadorov's on another level of everything. Like, he's moving the puck well. He's demolishing guys when they try to get in the zone on him. Like, guys, by the end of the series, we saw Nashville players starting to just chip the puck and skate away because they were literally, like, it looked like they were scared to get hit by Nikita Zadorov. So he's been phenomenal in round one. But I like that Dakota Joshua pick. I really do.
I got two quick ones.
Yeah.
Number one, how's the weather? Number two, how's the aquarium this time of year? I'm trying to convince Tyler to go with me.
Yeah, the aquarium's awesome. It's really expensive. But have either of you never been to the Vancouver Aquarium?
No. Every time I go. I went on my own last time I was there. It was amazing.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. Like, in all seriousness, I used to volunteer at a summer camp. We used to take the kids there all the time. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool. And then everybody, you get to walk in for the first time when you walk into the Amazon rainforest section. Everybody goes, wait, is that alligator real? And it is. It's a real alligator. It just stays very, very still, and you don't want to get too close to it. There are barriers and stuff, but it looks like a wax statue because of how still this thing stays. And it's very funny. It's very funny hearing people for the first time be like, is that a real one? And then sometimes they get a little too close to try to check if it's real. And it's like, oh, It is real. And then, yeah. Anyways, I'll try not to talk too much more about the aquarium, but yes, it's very good. The weather is really good. The weather is about to be, I saw 28 degrees this weekend. But when you guys get here, it's going to be the best weather we've had in a while. We had a really sunny April. Like we were touching 22 at the start of April, late March, we were getting really nice weather. But yeah, I'm seeing, okay, it's moved to 26 now, but yeah, Thursday 25, Friday 26, Saturday 25, not a cloud in the sky for the rest of this week. So even when you guys get here, it'll be a little cooler at 17 degrees, there's not going to be any clouds in the sky, which honestly, I like that weather more than like 25. I'm a big fan of the sun when it's like just below 20. That's my wheelhouse.
I'm going to bring my shorts.
Bring your shorts. I would give you a hot take that you only need pants for when you're in the arena.
Okay. Good info.
Well, that's good to know because I wore shorts last time we went
mm-hmm. to the arena. Meteorologist, aquarium tour guide,
zoologist,
hip hop head, most importantly, man who covers the Canucks. Quads, can't wait to see you this week, buddy. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Talk soon.
David Quattrelli from Canucks Army.
I can't wait. The aquarium.
We can go. I promise you, we can go.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I make any sort of those decisions.
You know, the aquarium is half indoor, half outdoor.
Really?
Yeah. It's quite a place. Right in the middle of the...
Admission is like $80.
I'll pay for you.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. I'll pay for you.
All right.
You bought me lunch last time we were there when we were in LA. So this is my pay it forward.
You're going to
pay backwards.
Get me into the aquarium. All right.
You'll have a great time, Tyler. Just wait to see the jellyfish.
Social content I get of you in the aquarium is going to be very fun.
And it's right in the middle of Stanley Park. I love Vancouver.
Are you not worried that aquariums are unethical?
No, because I don't want to get in. We'll get into it when we're at the aquarium. But there are rehabilitation for some animals. Now, when you go to like one thing I
see World
bug me about, like that's crazy. When you go to the zoo, like any zoo in Canada, and it's like, we have mountain goats. Like, why? Why do we have those here? Like, you can drive 20 minutes up the road and see them for real, right on the side. That drives me nuts. But who doesn't love a good tiger? Am I right?
If you're going to be in Vancouver, you can swing by and... Oh, none of their animals are captured, said Quads. They focus on rescue and rehabilitation. I like that Quads hung around to be like, hey, let's get the proper wording out about the Vancouver Aquarium. That's why we love them. So there you go. It is an ethical aquarium. I'm in now. That was the only reason I wasn't before.
We can have a picnic in the Stanley Park. That's why I met Michael Bublé. I can show you where I met him.
Quads just sent us an article to read about it too. All right. Let's keep cruising along with the show today. You know what I wanted to talk about, because it ties in to what you asked him about, the Oilers being big favorites in this series. the betting lines for this bad boy. It's brought to you by our friends at Betway, where you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Simply place a bet with no minimum amount required, and if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. How do you sign up, you ask? Simply scan the QR code that's on your screen right now and redeem your bonus, Liam. I want to talk about some of the betting lines for this series. Right now on Betway, the Oilers are -250 favorites.
Heavy
favorites. If you go and use an odds calculator and type in -250, that's implied odds of 71.43%, which, I'll be honest with you, kind of sounds right.
What was that one, sir?
71.43% chance. I think that's accurate, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you put it in those terms, that feels more accurate.
Feels better, yeah.
The -270, I was very, very surprised when I saw that. And I just respect the Canucks' ability a bit more than clearly the sports books do, because I would have put like -180, mm-hmm. I think that would have been a fair line. I mean, the Canucks do have home ice advantage. Their fans are great in the arena. They've got a lot of talent. Like, it is really dependent on Demko, I think.
Yep. Doug Waite, Tyler, Liam, how are the Oilers favorites when the Canucks owned us and were the top seed? Public money is part of it. I think, obviously a lot of people are picking the Oilers. That means a lot of people are betting on the Oilers. That makes sense. Yeah. That is definitely a factor here. It's not like a direct correlation from odds to percent chances of winning the series. The Oilers also looked really damn good for the last 4 months of the regular season. Mm-hmm. And they looked really damn good against the LA Kings. And the Canucks
really good.
Not barely got past Nashville, but there were close games. They needed a shot off a post with an empty net to win one of those games.
Yeah, we might even look at a game 7 now. You're right. If I didn't go down.
So yeah. There are some things that you need to keep in mind with that, but the Oilers are the better team, best team in the NHL from whatever it was, December 1 onwards, and it wasn't even close. So I think that is what leads to this. There are some interesting props that I wanted to hit on. Do we have those, AB? Okay, let's start with this one.
Here we go. I got to play on these 11.
Yeah. Okay. Goals in the series. Keep in mind, these are all juice. Like, those payouts are legit. Evander Kane at 7-1 to score 5 goals is wildly tempting.
Yeah, that is not bad. We know
he's a hat trick guy.
Yeah, I hope
you're basically 7-1. Get a hat trick, Kaner. Get a hat trick and get the other two, however. But I don't hate that at 7-1.
No, out of all of them, I think that's the only one I would do.
Draisaitl 7 goals at 6-1 is close.
Yeah, that'd be I wouldn't take any of the Vancouver ones. I don't think that guy's elite enough scorers to do that
much damage in a best of 7 series when, again, like Quad says, there's a chance it's only 5.
Maybe Besser. If I had to pick a Vancouver one, that would be the one. But Hyman score 7.
It's a lot for that payout. I don't like that payout.
McDavid, I wouldn't even go close to him scoring goals. Like, he just doesn't. Yeah. So do we have any other ones?
Those are all the goals. So I think Kane is my favorite there. For points, this is what we got.
I got assists next.
Oh, assists next. Assists is our next one. McDavid 10 plus assists is only 4-1. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Yeah. That is
honestly, there's Bouchard at 8 assists at 7-1 is probably my favorite.
How many did he finish of last round? Oh, I started typing Evander Bouchard. Wouldn't that be a duo?
Yeah.
8.
So he hit it last series in 5 games. If this series were to maybe go 6.
And the thing is too, like, I'm not expecting a 1-goal game in this series.
No.
Granted, I wasn't expecting it last time, but if you told me it would happen in either of the 2 series, I would have picked the LA one. But yeah, those are
Bouchard assists by game last round. 4-0-1-0-3. Interesting path to get to 8. Maybe some consistency helps.
Yeah, that would.
But is there one you like more than Bouchard, or is Bouch the one?
No, Hyman, Nuge, no chance. McDavid 10 assists. Really, if I had to pick another one, that would be the next one. Yeah,
I like Bouch at 8.
I'd be Quinn Hughes or Bouch.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes at 8. That's tempting. We got points next.
Yep.
is what we got for 12 points.
For McDavid.
12 for McDavid plus 375. I like that more than I like 10 assists. Just because, again, the last thing you'd want to do, like, he should be able to score two goals in this series. Yeah. If he's going to get 10 assists, 12 points should be on the table. And the last thing you'd want is for him to have a stat line of 3-9-12. And you're like, shit, I chased that extra 25 cents on the payout and it just wasn't worth it at all. They go down to 10 points for a few of these guys. I wouldn't touch Bush at that because I would just take the 8 assists at 700. So I don't think I'm going to touch any of these. If I had to bet one, I would just go guy at the top, go Connor.
Yeah, that'd be the only one I would go near as well.
Yeah,
I won't do it, but JT Miller might be. But I'm never going to bet on
that. I think with JT Miller, one thing that'll play in this series, from what Quad was saying, is like, as good as it is that he will shut down McDavid,
yeah,
that probably means he's going to be focusing on defense more than scoring goals. If he's on the ice every time McDavid's out there, then McDavid has the puck.
Yep.
He might eliminate himself in a weird way, too.
Yeah. I wouldn't touch the Miller. I think he's going to be focused on defense. That's a good point. And then the last one we had was most goals in the series.
Draisaitl. Oh, Hyman.
Hyman at plus 350 is tempting.
Yeah, that is tempting. Yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
But
and a Kane, 50. Is that
18? 18 to 1 on Kane.
Oh, that would be... If I had to pick a long shot, it would definitely be him.
Yeah, it's definitely Evander Kane as the long shot. But like, again, man, he's had great playoffs in the past. I think Evander Kane at 18 to 1, 10 bucks on it into 180. I spent 10 bucks on worse shit.
Like what?
Basically any stadium beer I've ever bought.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, if I had to pick one, I like that. Not really into any of the Vancouver picks.
Might be a guy who's in for a big series. Might be due, as the kids say, Liam.
Is that... Is Draisaitl 225 or 325?
325. You like Draisaitl?
And Hyman is 350?
Yeah.
I just think for like the difference in value, I would just go Draisaitl.
You could bet them both, and as long as one of them does, you're coming out ahead.
Yeah, that's true.
And let us know.
We should.
Let us know in the YouTube who you like. You made a poll for
who scores the most goals this series? Dry Hyman, 48%.
Was there another option?
Kane, 5%.
Kane at 18 to 1, man. I don't know. You just never know, Liam, is my point.
You just never know.
All right, let's get back to it. Let's do a playoff report for Boston Pizza. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won hockey's ultimate prize, and for some teams, a lot longer. What would it take for Canadian hockey fans to set aside their differences and work together to end this drought? Would you be willing to cheer on a rival to get Canada a ring?
Well, not.
Maybe we should ask Jets and Leafs fans if they'd be willing to hop on board.
Zing.
Zing.
Suck it.
If you're not willing to cheer for McDavid, who are you willing to cheer for is my point. JT Miller? Get out of here.
The American?
Yeah, the American. I don't want him lifting the cup. Jason Greger joins us from Sports 1440 and the DFO Rundown. Greg's, how's it going?
Pretty good, fellas. You?
Good. Appreciate you hopping on. I want to start. You were obviously out, or Oilers morning skate was today. Any concern that Henrique or Kane could miss game one?
Well, definitely not Kane. I think Henrique's probably more of a concern, although I'm not saying it's high, but Kane's just resting. He'll be fine. Fine as far as to play. Henrique got nicked up in game five, and they're just giving him as much rest as possible. I know there's some people freaking out. Oh my God, the Oilers have too much rest. These two guys aren't complaining about it. The players obviously want to play, but you know they'll have 6 days between games, right? They played Wednesday, they have Thursday to Tuesday off, then they play Wednesday. Both are supposed to skate tomorrow. They're expected to skate tomorrow, and I think when they skate tomorrow, you're going to see both of them in the lineup. It's just now you use every day of rest if you can.
Yeah. Looking at this series, and I mean, I love your game notes up at the site. You're always digging into the stats and doing your research. From what you've looked at so far, are there any areas where the Canucks have the edge in this series?
Edge, that's a good question. I'm not sure if I see an edge. Like, you know, Quinn Hughes, when he's at the top of his game, is probably the best defenseman in the series. So I guess I would say that. There's going to be a few things that are going to be different. I was stunned how stubborn LA was in their lack of change in their penalty kill and their power play in the first series. Like, you look, the Oilers basically said, here, Drew Doughty, we'll let you get the puck at the point, and they never shot, right? They kept trying to feed it to Kempe. It didn't work. And on their penalty kill, their lack of aggressiveness was stunning to me, right? They didn't really change. Now, Vancouver, there's two things. Their penalty kill is going to be a lot more aggressive. It was, and I think early on the first game, we'll see if there's any sort of challenge for Edmonton there, because it's an aggressive penalty kill. Because if you look, like, just look at the power plays, and I was watching, you know, obviously there's lots of downtime. So I went back and I was watching all the power play goals. You look at how many times Edmonton won the faceoff and then was able to just do a set play that LA just was like, okay, they're going to do a set play. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm expecting Vancouver's forwards to be more aggressive. And the big thing is Vancouver's power play. So their power play is basically, it's a little different. Well, it's a lot different than LA, although their power play percentages were basically the same in the regular season, 22.7 for Vancouver, 22.6 for LA. But so what they do different is they love Miller to come in on the left side, right? Then he will back pass it to Hughes, and then Hughes is a left shot, right? And you've got Pettersson over here. You've got the lefty to the one-timer on the right side. It's way easier than Doughty, who's a right shot at the top, trying to have to turn to get the puck over. So that's going to be a bigger challenge for Edmonton's top guys. And I really think the forwards are going to be key to this, the penalty killing success for Edmonton in this round. They're going to, like, Quinn Hughes, like, there's three plays. I was watching Vancouver. I went and watched some film in against Nashville, but more so in the regular season. They have three plays they love. They either love the one-timer for Pettersson. They like the Quinn Hughes, what I call the sifter. He's very good at getting that puck through. It reminds me of Lidstrom. He will sift it through from the top, and then chaos ensues. And then the other one is they love that Hughes will come back down to JT Miller, and he loves that little pull move inside and rip it. Really good shot, right? Because Besser scored, I don't know how many goals he scored in the power play. I think it was like 17, 20 or whatever it was. And a lot of them were from down low from that sifter play. So I do think Vancouver, even though their power play was only 15% in the first round, I think it's going to be more of a challenge to Edmonton's penalty killers than LA's was.
Interesting.
What do you make of the Canucks goaltending situation? Obviously, Demko likely won't play game one, but this Otto Solas is coming in, doing a really good job. They playing him ahead of the Smith. Like, but the Oilers offensive is going to be a lot different. Like, how do you think he'll be in this series?
You know what? It's funny. I was talking to some guys today who I won't say their names, just, you know, about the goal. They don't see a huge difference. There's no glaring weakness per se, although I do have Kevin Woodley coming on today, and he's in the goalie union, but he's very good at breaking. Every goalie has a weakness, he says. So what's the weakness of Shelovs or DeSmith? Now, DeSmith was a little bit banged up, right? So I think that's why they went to him. But I could make the argument I would stay with Shelovs here to start this series. How can you not? Like, the guy just won you the key games down the stretch. How can you not play him? So now, as you guys mentioned, Edmonton's offense is much different than Nashville. Like, I like Philip Forsberg, but after that, it ain't comparable to Edmonton's top four or five guys, right? Edmonton has four guys who are point of game players, right? And we know the top two in McDavid and Draisaitl, and, you know, Zach Hyman's on a scoring rampage right now, but that will be a big challenge for sure. Vancouver, I think they know the offense they see, but I also think Vancouver's is presenting a different challenge than Edmonton saw in LA. Edmonton was so comfortable. They've seen LA. They kind of beat them for fun almost, right, the last 3 years. So, you know, Vancouver, and now I don't put much stock, if any. Actually, I put zero into the regular season meetings. Like, I'd give two squirts what happens in October. Like, who cares? It's irrelevant. Different coach, different players. Vancouver doesn't even play the same style then that they do now. Like, Vancouver likes to sit back maybe a lot more than people expect. Right. Like, I know everyone's like, oh, well, it was because Nashville wanted to. I'm like, no, that's how Vancouver likes to play and really has played in the second half of the season. So, you know, Edmonton's going to have to remain patient. But the one advantage they'll have is they're used to playing that patient game. Now, there's no 1-3-1 here in this series, but there is more of a patient game that Vancouver likes to play. And I think Edmonton's shown that they've matured enough that they don't have to press for a goal on every shift like they used to and then result in big giveaways.
Yeah, that's fair. Liam, you asked this question to Quads earlier on, but the Oilers are big favorites from a betting perspective. I saw ESPN had 23 of their 24 hockey people all pick the Oilers to win this series. But then you look, and we had questions in the chat of, like, how are they being favored this hard? When you look at the regular season, when you look at the fact they were lower in the standings, don't have home ice advantage, So I guess, do you think the Oilers deserve to be this big of favorites? The implied odds on Betway are 71.4%. Is it higher or lower than that in your mind?
No, I think Edmonton, I had Edmonton as a big favorite against LA, and that came out to fruition. I thought it was pretty clear. Like, I know, like, you got to remember, Vancouver had a great start and Edmonton was terrible. But if you look at the last 4 or 5 months, Edmonton's the best team in the NHL, right? So they should be favored. I know it's hard for Oilers fans because, you know, there's still some that have PTSD from losing all the time, right? Or PTSD, excuse me. So I get it. But Edmonton's a really good team. Yeah, if they lose this series, it's a major choke job. I think Edmonton wins in five. I think they're favored because, A, Demko's out, so that's a big one. Let's start there. And then you look at playoff experience. You look at playoff production. Edmonton's top guys, they've produced now, not just one series. They've produced their entire careers. Like McDavid and Draisaitl, we're talking like Gretzky, Lemieux, McDavid, Draisaitl as far as career points percentage per game as productive guys. Like McDavid in the last three playoff years, McDavid has more assists than any player has points other than Leon Draisaitl, right? Like they have 65 and 60 points each. The next highest is Nathan MacKinnon at 44, right? Like this is not a one-off guys getting hot. This is, you need your best players in the playoffs. And now Edmonton, not only do their best players produce, they've improved defensively as a team. They've improved their depth as a team. And that's why they're a legit cup contender. Yeah. The betting odds, prognostications, it doesn't surprise me that they line up guys like, Vancouver could squeeze this out to six and who knows, maybe it even goes seven, but I would be quite surprised if Edmonton lost this series. I think the only way Edmonton loses a series is that they have some key injuries.
Or if they maybe do what they've done in years past and shoot themselves in the foot, like you've always talked about the gift wrap goals and how that was an issue. But I think they've kind of showed that through the last few months of the season, they're past that a little bit.
Yeah, that's been like 6 months of playing time where I haven't really seen it. So I like that to me would be a stunner if all of a sudden when this series, like you look at the LA game, the LA series, look at how many unlucky goals or lucky goals if you're an LA fan that Edmonton had go against them and it still didn't cost them, right? They still won in five games and one was in overtime and they had the partition goal. They had, like, I can't recall that. Like I see like the Bouchard one where it went off his skate when he sat on the top of the crease. That happens almost once a series for a team. That's pretty normal in the playoffs because everybody funnels pucks. But if you go back and look at the puck that went off Nurse's stick skate, he's like 15 or 20 feet out of the crease. Like normally that doesn't happen. So you have one of those. Cody Ceci's stick just shatters late in the game, you know, so it makes another 5-on-5 goal look worse. Like I thought Edmonton for much of that series in LA dominated. And I don't expect them to dominate as much because I think Vancouver's special teams will be better. But I still think Edmonton's a better team.
I got one more. It comes from the inbox. It's our Great Clips inbox question with more than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada. Great Clips is the world's largest hair salon brand and official partner of the NHL. Your time's valuable. Use the Great Clips check-in app. See the wait time. Check in on your phone. Get your haircut when you want. Find out more at greatclips.com. Greg, this one came in from Ben who wants to know who would go on the top line if Henrik is out. Who would your pick be? I might want to run Dylan Holloway up there, but I am a Holloway stan, and I realize I am biased. Would it be maybe Warren Fogle? Is that the safer play?
No, I think it'd be Matthias Janmark. And I know people are going to freak out, but I'm telling you, Matthias Janmark, the coaches love him. And I keep people who like to use analytics. It's great. So if you read Corey Massasak's article about the Avalanche, they take analytics and then they combine it with video. So I implore anybody to show me video of Matthias Janmark making mistakes with the puck. Just show me them. You know why? You can't, because he doesn't make any. Does he score you a lot of goals? No, he does not. But Adam Henrik is on that line because he's smart and defensive responsible. Right, I don't think they're going to put Dylan Holloway there yet. Now, it might happen as the series goes, but if you had to ask me for game one, if Henrik's not ready, I think it'd be Janmark. Now, that being said, I think Henrik's going to play. So I don't think it'll matter. But Chris Knobloch, it's not just one coach. There's every coach I've talked to that coaches Matthias Janmark. They love everything about him because they know exactly what they get all the time. And he's rarely in the wrong position. And when he has the puck on a stick in the defensive zone, he rarely makes a mistake. He's not going to score a lot for you, But Edmonton doesn't need that. Now, would he be my long-term answer? No. But on a one gamer, guys, I won't be surprised if it's him.
I love that answer.
Not
I love
I expected.
It. You got, not who I expected. You got the chat fired up, but I actually think majority of the chat is in your corner on it. People like Janmark, and I think they see what you see, just the lack of mistakes. And it's not like it's Chris Knobloch. You can't even think of like, oh man, like Knobloch, that's his little pet. Like Woodcroft liked him. Like multiple coaches have liked this guy in a similar scenario.
Yeah, Dallas, Vegas, teams that go deep in the playoff. Having players that a coach just, oh, where's that 13? Oh, it's Janmark. I know exactly what he's doing. Like, and the other thing is, he's very smart on the penalty kill. There's a reason why multiple different coaches keep using him in tougher situations, right? And I actually think Matthias Janmark, the Oilers' penalty killers are going, I think it's going to be one of the underlying keys, is just because Vancouver's power play is very top focused. They love to go Miller, Hughes, and Pettersson. That's their big focus more. Like, obviously, they'll go down low to Besser, but everything really starts at the top. The order forwards are going to have to be really good in this series on the penalty kill. They were able to take that pass away. They basically tried to if you watch them cheat a little bit, they basically said, Drew Doughty, we're not going to let you pass to Kempe. We're going to cheat and let you shoot the puck, and they refused to do it. Quinn Hughes, though, is very good at the sifter, so you can't just give him that because he'll walk the line and he'll find the opening better. But then you also have to time it so you don't just expose it and say, well, we'll take away Hughes and then allow that pass down low to Pettersson. So I do think this is going to be more of a challenge, but there's another area where Janmark excels at. But I do think Adam Henrique's going to play, guys. I'd be surprised. You know, my gut was, I think he just had a sprained ankle, is what I'm hearing. Like, I watched him on the ice and leave. Like, that's, you know, going back and watching game five again. Like, I'm no doctor, right? And I'm not Struds. I didn't take science one class to claim I'm a medical doctor, but that's what I think it is. And, you know, any type of injury like that, it's probably more going to be about comfort. So, you know, rest him as much as he can. Let's see him skate on Tuesday, and then away he'll go Wednesday.
Perfect. Appreciate your time, Greg. Thanks for hopping on.
Have a good one, fellas.
There you go. Jason Greger. You can watch him right here. 2 o'clock, Oilers Nation YouTube. Listen to him 2 to 6 on Sports 1440. Listen to him with Frank Saravalli on the DFO Rundown every Monday and Thursday. Go to the DFO YouTube. Subscribe there.
So you mentioned something when we were chatting with Jason.
Mentioned a few things, yes.
The ESPN, the people voting on it.
I was so disappointed. I know what you're going to say.
No, you don't. Oh. I know you think I'm going to say Ryan S. Clark.
Yes, he was the one who didn't pick the Oilers.
That man can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Ray Ferraro, Tyler.
Ah, okay. Because
Ray Ferraro made his pick as the Oilers, of course, because Ryan S. Clark was the only one. Who is Ray Ferraro's wife?
Cammy Granato.
What does Cammy Granato do for a living?
Work for the Vancouver Canucks.
She's the assistant general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. And he said, you know what? Sorry, Cammy. I'm going to have a couple awkward dinners if my pick's right.
Well, Ray.
That's very funny.
Ray, if you need somewhere to crash for a night.
Yeah.
Jay and BM have the two beds. I'm doing pull-out couch. Liam's doing cushions on the ground.
Oh.
But we could maybe find room for you, air mattress in the kitchen, Ray?
Yeah. There'll be plenty. There's plenty of room.
Plenty of room. Plenty this of couch, room. You could come sleep on this couch.
Luckily, our room won't smell like street food, street meat ramen this time. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, that's funny. That is funny, though. All jokes, Ray. All jokes. If you want to come on the show.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome. We'd love to have you. Let's wrap up the show, Liam, with a little giant question for our friends, not just at Sherwood Ford the Giant, but also Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. First off, Sherwood Ford the Giant, Liam, and the service department. We're going to be out at Sherwood Ford the Giant doing our show live tomorrow.
Yep.
Tremendous. You want to know how fast their service department operates? I called them on the way out. Okay, I need an oil change. She was like, perfect. Tomorrow work? You better believe it does. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow I'm going to drive. Drop off the truck at 11 when we start getting set up for the live show.
Yeah.
They're going to do the oil change. And then I'll say, I need to pick up my truck and I'll drive it into the office. That's be beautiful. Nice.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Shout out to their service department. Shout out to Sherwood Power Sports and Marine as well, because their service department also top notch service for all makes and models of power sport and marine vehicles. Bring your Sherwood Power Sports and Marine your service troubles. Need an inspection and test run, some trailer TLC, or just a fresh oil change like me. It's adventure time and they've got you covered, everything to get you ready for the season. Your giant question, does the fact everyone's picking the Oilers make you nervous?
No. The Oilers are really good. It's not like we're going into
Stanley Cup final and it's like this, right? I do think the Oilers should be the favorite in this series. I don't know. Like, it's so, like, Quads was, is that the Ottawa thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quads, like, when he was going through, like, all his ifs, it's like, that's so many.
It's a
like,
lot of ifs.
If they shut down McDavid, if they shut down Draisaitl, if Solas becomes Demko, like, you know, if I grow wings, I'll fly. A lot of things aren't going to happen. Maybe they can do a couple of things, but they're not going to be able to do that for 7 games. You want to read your tweet?
Breaking news. We'll call it short for the giant breaking news.
Okay.
Travis Green is going to be the next head coach of the Ottawa Senators.
That is true.
He was the interim coach of the New Jersey Devils, was apparently still in the running for that position. He says, I'm good. I'm taking my talents to Ottawa.
To Ottawa.
Interesting fit there.
I
can't tell if I like it for Ottawa. He kind of came into Vancouver. And again, I'm kind of trying to do this on the fly. I think it was a similar spot.
That's what I was just trying to process too. And then he got them to the playoffs and then kind of fell off a cliff. But also, he had Jim Benning as his general manager. So that didn't help him in some regard too. So I think that's a good hire. I keep wondering about Jay Woodcroft though. Obviously, every time someone gets hired, this conversation will always circle back to Jay Woodcroft on the show.
And I think he's going to be picky about his next job.
I think that's why I was just about to say, like, I don't think he's in any rush.
No.
I think that one made a lot of sense. Obviously, the Steve Staios connection. But I think he wants somewhere where it's like, okay, sustainable, I guess is a good way to put it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting, too, with him because, granted, incredibly good coach. Do not get me wrong. He has just had one head coach in Germany and NHL.
Yep.
So it's interesting that he's being, and hey, maybe no one's calling, which seems unlikely, but I don't know. It seems interesting to me. I really like the Seattle job for him. I think they could do with someone like him.
I like the LA job for him.
Bonus is gone now too.
Ooh, Winnipeg needs a new coach. Winnipeg
could be an interesting gap there, but I mean, clearly he's not afraid of the winter. He lived in Edmonton.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah, I think he's going to wait for a really good fit. All right, that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Shout out to Gregor. Shout out to Quads. Tomorrow, Jason Demers going to get oiled up with Jason Demers. Coombsy's going to be by. Coombsy will have to join virtually because we'll be at Sherwood Ford the Giant. Mm-hmm. But we'll have Coombsy tomorrow. We'll have Demers. Talk about what else? What's going on? Who plays tonight? Vancouver, Florida, Boston.
Is that tonight?
Yeah, and then tomorrow the West gets going. So we'll probably ask Demers about the Dallas series as well because I know he was watching that one. So
Carolina series started already.
Yeah, 1-0 Rangers in that one. We'll talk about that too. So giddy up. Tomorrow's show should be a good one. Demers always brings it. Coombsy's always good for a laugh or two. So we'll have fun tomorrow on the show. And then Wednesday, we will be live in Vancouver. Again, if you're going to be out in Vancouver, you want to spot pregame, watch the game, postgame to hang out with us, we will be at Greta. If you're in Edmonton and you want to spot pregame, postgame, or during the game to hang out with us, AB and the boys will be at the Greta in downtown Edmonton. We are on the coast in Edmonton. We're everywhere. If there's a Greta, we be being there.
We'll be there in the big V.
All right. Shout out to everyone in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. You were tremendous.
Yep.
A lot of good comments.
Good job today.
Yeah, everybody. I saw Matthias Janmark was defending himself in there. Good stuff. That is a wrap. New episode of Real Life drops in a couple hours as well. So tune in there and we will chat with you all tomorrow. Noon Mountain.
Farewell.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.